Okay, we're on Lamed Ches Amud Aleph. At the bottom of the narrow lines, there's two dots, which Lamed Ches Amud Aleph, bottom of Lamed Ches Amud Aleph. I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
I missed last week, but this is where Morty told me he got up to. So I trust him. Yeah, it's a 38B, which we're going to get to. We're going to cover 38B.
Yes, yes,
we're starting at the bottom of 38A, which is Lamed Ches Amud Aleph. Then the bottom of the narrow lines, there's two dots. The first one line is Bai, and we're going to start with Sha'al HaPasu Omer. Everyone catch that spot? Sha'al HaPasu Omer. Okay, that's where we're up to.
Richard.
Hello, Richard. Okay, so... The Mishnah said, Sha'al Pasu Omer, Hamotzi Lechem Inaretz. The bracha which we make on bread, everyone gets blessed, is Hamotzi Lechem Inaretz. So we're going to discuss this particular bracha. Okay, so it's an interesting discussion, as you shall see. So Tana Rabbanan, the Gemara says, Mahu Omer, what is the text? What is the proper way in which you should make a bracha Hamotzi? So the first opinion is Hamotzi Lechem Inaretz, which sounds very familiar. Okay, nothing new for us there. However, Rabbi Nechemya Omer, Motzi Lechem in Haaretz, lacking the hay. Baruch Ata Hashem Mekim HaMelech HaOlam, Motzi Lechem Min Haaretz. Now, we're going to have to understand why is there a difference between these two words. So Amar Rava, Rava explains, B'motzi, without the hay, Kule Alma Lo Pligi De'apik Mashma. Everyone agrees that that is in the language of past tense. That Hashem did take it out. He did take bread from the land. Okay, that's according to Rava. Motzi is the apik mashma. And I know I see Rami shaking his head. He didn't just make this up. He's quoting a pasuk. Dichtiv, it's based on a pasuk. Kel motziam mimitzrayim. Now, Rami will tell us, motziam is simply the plural of motzi. There's motzi, it's a single. And motziam is Hashem took them out of the Mitzrayim. This is Bilam speaking. Years, 40 years after Hashem took Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, and he is saying, this is the God who took, in past tense, them out from Mitzrayim. So Motzi, in biblical language, is past tense. Okay.
Bilam did not know Hebrew.
It's a quote.
Motziam
is the past tense. It's not, he's not going to take him out. Hashem only took us out of Mitzrayim once. Now, if you look at Rashi explains, that the apik mashma is that Hashem shehotzi kvar, that Hashem already took us out. Now, ha, Rashi says, vaday bracha haguna l'sha'avar ba'inan. The proper, and this is a key point that Rashi is making, which applies to all brachos, which is why I wanted to share with you. Rashi explains that the proper tense of all brachos is past tense. When it's a birchas hane'anin, the proper bracha is the past tense. Hashem already did this. He already provided the fruit for me, and now it's here for me to eat. He already caused the fruit to grow or the bread to be produced. That is the proper language for the bracha on food. So therefore, we appropriately want the bracha to be past tense. Okay, that is the explanation of Rashi. So out over last yasan, and because also, what's the point of the bracha? It has to be a bracha which is allowing us to eat. Meaning, the bracha is a svara. What's the svara of the bracha? How can you eat something before? You have to make the bracha first. Certainly, you have to make the bracha first. But it's not past tense about what you did. It's not saying I ate the food. That's what you do. That's the bracha chrona. What we're referring to is where it's the praise of Hashem who already produced this fruit for me. That's what it's referring to. And now I'm ready to eat it. It's a past tense on Hashem. Okay, so it's based on this. He has a proof from a pasuk. Everyone agrees, and that's not up for debate. Everyone agrees that motzi is past tense. Ki pligi behamotzi. There's a debate about the word hamotzi. Rabbanan Savri, the rabbis, the Tanakhama, the first opinion holds hamotzi. The apik mashma is also a past tense word. Dichtiv hamotzi lachamayim mitzura chalamish. Moshe says to Bnei Yisrael, Hashem took water out from you from the rock of the flint, meaning he produced water from rocks for you while you were in the Midbar, in past tense. This is something that Moshe is describing in Devarim, something that already happened already before in the past. So you see that Hamotzi is the language of the past tense. Hamotiach, because it's saying that Rashi, if you look at Rashi, no, but Moshe is not referring to an episode that's happening at that moment in this pasuk in Devarim. This is in Ba'as Chanan. He's not referring to an actual thing that happened. It's saying that happened. But correct. So it is. So to be straight, it also refers. What Moshe is referring to is what Hashem has done for years in the past. But it is correct that Hamotzi also can possibly refer to the present. But in this pasuk, it's not. Rashi is clear about it. Rashi says that this is Hamotzi l'chamayim u'kvarotzi. This is saying Hashem already did for them, already in the past. And that's what Moshe is referring to, saying which Hashem has already in the past done for them, in this particular pasuk. Whether Hamotzi can be something in the current or future tense as well, is something we'll see. So hold off on that. But in this particular pasuk, it's definitely past tense.
No, I'm thinking about it from the water. The water was still flowing fast and cool.
I understand.
So it was not necessarily only past
tense. That would be what Nehemiah would say, right? Meaning, he'll say what Moshe was referring to was the current continuous flow of water. But the rabbis are saying it refers to what Moshe was referring to is what Hashem has done for you the last 4 years. Look at what Hashem has done. But Moshe is getting a review. The Gemara continues, Rabbi Nehemiah Savar Hamotzi Dematik Mashba, but he holds that it's a future tense, Shinamar, because in Mitzrayim, Moshe is telling Bnei Israel that Hashem is Hamotzi Eschem Mitachas Sivlos Mitzrayim, that Hashem is the one who will take you out, they're in Mitzrayim, so they will take you out from under the slavery of Egypt. Okay, so that is future tense. Hadn't happened yet. No, not in this pasuk. Hamotzi Eschem Mitachas Sivlos Mitzrayim. Hashem is no.
This, in the act of, I mean, they hadn't physically left.
Yeah, so Hashem is
a big bad part of slavery by this point itself. They were already in beginning the redemption.
This is even the Makos aren't finished here yet. No. Oh, you mean you're saying that therefore they didn't have Shiva the Guf at this point, they Shiva Nefesh. Okay. All right. Nonetheless, it is certainly not past tense. Okay, good.
How about the word hoteti?
Hoteti would be definitely past tense. Yes, that would be. But the language of hamotzi, that particular form of the word, would be not future tense. Zirabanan and the Urabanan, what do they do with this pasuk? Because they're the ones that say that hamotzi is past tense. So they explain hahu hachikamar luhu. What Hashem is saying to Bnei Israel, you have to teach the pasuk, you have to explain the pasuk the following way. Hashem is telling Bnei Israel, when I take you out of Mitzrayim, I'm going to do it in the most miraculous, amazing way. Because when you get out, in the future, when you get out, you're going to look back and say, you know what I'm saying? You took us out. I remember all the miracles. It was Hashem who took me out in past tense. So it's something that Hashem is telling them now about how they're going to feel in the future retrospectively in the past. That makes any sense. In other words, it's how Bnei Israel is going to feel in the future saying it was Hashem who took us out of Mitzrayim. So I'm going to take you out in such a way that's so memorable, so miraculous, that it'll be clear to you it was me who took you out. It wasn't just like, oh, we got lucky. You know, there was this war going on between some gods and Paro and we escaped out the back door. It's going to be very clear to Bnei Israel, is the way to explain this pasuk, Hamotzi Eschem Mitachas Sivlos Mitzrayim, is that you will know in the future that it was me that took you out from Mitzrayim, that you will come to recognize that I'm the one who took you out, is in past tense. So Hamotzi is a past tense word, and the pasuk is meant to be understood as referring to the past tense. Is that clear?
I'm not going to argue with it.
Okay. As it says in that beginning of that pasuk, the beginning of that pasuk starts via that 10, because so you will know, meaning you're going to know, eventually when I take you out, and you'll realize then in the future time that looking back at it in the past, I took you out. Ki'ani Hashem Hamotzi, I'm the one who took you out. You'll know eventually that I'm the one who took you out. Okay, so again, that is the debate between the Chachamim and Rav Nechemiah. Mishtabchin le'Rabbanon le'Rav Zeira. The rabbis had come to Rav Zeira, and they came and they told wonderful things about this individual whose name is Bar Ravzvid. Bar Zid was the Achua de Rav Shimon. He was the brother of Rav Shimon. Bar Rav Zid, also the son of Rav Zid. So they were talking about this. Bar Zid, the Adam Gadolhu. He's a great Talmud Chacham. Ubaki bebrachosu, and he's very, very keen, very knowledgeable about laws of brachos. So Amar Lechem. So Rabbi Zeira said to them, Lecheshiyavu liyadchem. When this guy, this Bar Rav Zid, comes to you, have you liyadi? Bring him to me. I want to meet him. So Zim Lechadik Lagabe Afiku Le Rifta. So one time he in fact came and he met Rav Zeira. So Rav Zeira offered him some bread. So Afiku Le Rifta, he brought him some bread. Pasach the Amar. So before he ate the bread, he said Motzi. He said Motzi, which is like Rabbi Nechemia. So Rav Zeira, seeing that he said Motzi, Amar Zehu Shomrim Alav the Adam Gadolhu. This is the guy you're telling me is this great Talmud Chacham. Ubaki bebrachosu, and he's so knowledgeable about brachos. Bishlomi amar hamotzi. If he had said hamotzi, which is the language of the chachamim, so ashminan, he would be teaching me through saying that particular formulation of the bracha. He'd be teaching me ta'ama, the way to understand the pasuk, that the pasuk of hamotzi hamitachas levus Mitzrayim is to be read as you will eventually will know that Hashem took you out, not will take you out, but took you out from Mitzrayim, so he'll tell you the way to understand the pasuk. V'ashminan hilchasak k'rabanan. He'll also be letting me know, like flagging us to let us know that the pesach halacha is like the rabbanan halacha, yachid rabban halacha k'rabban, that we hold like the chachamim, the rabbanan, and the proper way to make the bracha of hamotzi is hamotzi. Ella da'amar motzi my kamashmalam. But the fact that he says motzi, which is fine, so potentially okay, everyone agrees that motzi is also past tense. But what is it? There's no extra advantage. He didn't teach us anything to that. There was no chiddush. There was no extra thing that we learned from him saying that bracha. And now, Ihu the Ovid, why did he make the bracha in that way? La'afuke nafshi miplotza. Just to get himself out of a debate, meaning there's the Rabbanan and the Nechemia have a debate on which is the proper word. Everyone agrees motzi is fine. There's a debate about their hamotzi. So he went and played it safe, and he went with motzi, which is fine according to everyone. But had he used the language of Hamotzi, he would have taught us two important things. One, how to read the pasuk, the proper way, Hamotzi is coming tachas levus Mitzrayim. Number two, that it is proper to pass the like the chacham in here and say Hamotzi. And he didn't. No, Rav Zeira is.
Why?
Because he thinks he should.
He did.
No, no.
He said he held Motzi.
He thought that was like, your average Joe would do that. Like, I'm not sure what the halacha is. Like, let's say it this way.
Why do you have to go out on a limb?
Because if you're someone who is crystal clear in halacha, then you'll know that the proper halacha is like the chachamim. So what are you holding back? What do you gain? The halacha is like chachamim. And I could have taught the whole olam here, the whole olam, how to read the pasuk. The proper way to read it, you thought, until you show up here tonight, is when you get to the parsha of Vayera, you're going to say, oh, that pasuk is read, Hashem will take me out of Mitzrayim. Now that I taught you this halacha, you know to read the pasuk differently. That's going to teach you that in the future, you're going to say, Hashem was the one who took us out, because I remember those tremendous miracles he did for us. That is what he could have done as an Adam Gadol. As a regular, he didn't do anything wrong. He didn't say he was wrong, but if you tell me this is a tremendous Talmud Chacham. No, that's not. I don't think he wasn't passing like against the Chacham. That would be wrong also. He's playing it safe. The Gemara explains what his logic was. His logic was to play it safe. He wasn't saying the Chacham was wrong, because that's first of all Shalok HaDin. He passed the Halacha Yachid Rabban Halacha Rabban. He was simply following the safest approach. There are times where let me just finish this part, and I don't think I'll have time in the context of this year. But the real question is, I guess let me reformulate this way. Let's put it this way. When is it proper to try and be Yotzei L'Chol Deos? When is it proper to try and, you know, so we want to fulfill all the different, there's different opinions, so when should we try and fulfill all the opinions? When is it proper to try and demonstrate, to display to everyone which way is the correct way of making the bracha, and which time is it appropriate to simply play safe and not get into a debate and like try and shuch it to everyone, hey, you should all know this is the way to make the bracha. And there are different gemaras about it. There's a whole taz on this topic, which if I don't know if I have time to get into. And there's a rush, which I'll tell you in a second. Okay? Hold off. So, but it's a great question. But nonetheless, it certainly didn't show he didn't go on a limb. And I guess if anything you want to learn from this is, Talmud Chacham, a posek, can go on a limb. If you read the true, I mean, if you read the real posek Ador, all the time they go on a limb. And they're saying tremendous chidushim through a lot of tshuvas of our contemporary Chachamim. And there are times where they go out on a limb against, they're going to paskin in some case against all half of previous generations, what they said. It's not because they're playing it safe. It's because they are convinced that this is the proper halacha, and that's what Adam Gadol does. If you're just knowledgeable and you're average, then you might just do this. That's the way the story is understood. The Hilchasa, and in fact the halacha is, Hamotzi lechem in aretz. We say, as we all do know, Hamotzi. We say Hamotzi. No, Hamotzi is not to be sure. But Nechemiah says that's wrong. This is like the Chachamim. Hamotzi, according to the Chacham. The Kaimalan, because we follow the halacha like the Rabbanan, the Amri, the Afik Mashma, because it applies to the past tense. Now, if you look at the Tosos, Hilchas Hamotzi, he says, Afal pi dibimotzi kulamalo plige, the Afik Mashma. This is the side reason. You know, we could play it off, we also could play it safe, right? If you want to say, look, I want to be Yosei L'chol HaDeot, I want to be sure that I'm saying the right bracha, I might as well say Motzi. But Tosfos says there's another reason to say Hamotzi. And what is that? Ubi Yerushalmi Mefarish Taima Kedei Shelo La'arev HaOsios. Because if you say, Baruch Atah Hashem Akel Melech HaOlam Motzi, HaOlam Motzi, it can almost sound like you're saying one word, HaOlam Motzi. HaOlam Motzi is not a word. HaOlam Motzi is the way of saying it, but if you slur it, you'll end up not saying a word, which means you didn't really say the bracha. So it's safer, it's better to say Olam Hamotzi, because then you're not going to mess up and try and say the two words together. Okay? Like in the Shema, very careful, you have to be careful to say Va'avadetem Mehera. You can't Va'avadetem Mehera. You have to make sure that you pause between those two words so that you don't bring them together as if you're saying one word which doesn't exist. So therefore, the Yerushalmi. Good question. Tosfos has a similar question. Forget you're going to another bracha. Tosfos has a question in the same bracha. He says, wait a second. In the same bracha, you say, Hamotzi lechem min. Lechem min. Also, those two words come together. Why don't we say, Hamotzi min haaret lechem. Why don't we mix it up? So we don't say lechem min, right? That's if you're worried about mixing the letters, in the same bracha, there's a problem. So Tosfos explains that over there, the reason why is because it's based on the language of the pasuk, the language of the pasuk of the Torah. It says in the Torah that matmiach chasir levehema ve'esav la'avoda sa'adam lahotzi lechem min haaretz. You know, in other words, that you made the grass grow for the cattle, and you made the herbs grow for man toil. So you're brought bread from the land. So since the motzi lechem min haaretz is the language of a pasuk, we want to specifically incorporate that language, even though there's a chance that you might slur up the word. And from the fact that this is the pasuk, which is the source of our bracha, that we say, Motzi lechem min haaretz, this pasuk has 10 words, which is why Tosfos says in halacha that whenever you make the bracha on the bread, you should pick it up with your 10 fingers. There are other Kabbalistic reasons also given, but one of the reasons is because this pasuk, which says min haaretz lecha min haaretz, which is the source of the language of our bracha, has 10 words. Tosos, not even like it's not like some Chassidish Rebbe somewhere. Tosos says, pick up the bread. You'll see on Shabbos, people bring up to hold up the lecha mishnah with two hands. You're not supposed to hold it on the hand on the outside. Hold it together on the bread, 10 fingers for this reason. Okay, I don't have the answer to your question. I don't answer your question. But that's the... Correct. But this is... I don't know what Tosfos would say about other situations, but Yerushalmi clearly thinks that the proper approach would be Hamotzi in this particular option. If you have options, this is the better option. Because otherwise, you'd say, play it safe. They'll say, it's not playing it so safe, because you get into one trap, you fall into another. So the Yerushalmi is worried. If you have other brachas, perhaps you don't have options. This is Mapea Bracha. This is what they had decided. Here, you have an option. And the option is not as good to try and play it safe in this case. I think that's what Yerushalmi is trying to address. The Rush has a similar discussion about bir chametz. We say al biur chametz. There's a debate in the Gemara and Pesachim about whether we say al biur chametz or levaer es chametz. Now we want to in that bracha say something about the future. We're saying it when we start to check for the chametz. We haven't burnt anything yet. We're going to burn something next morning. So al biur chametz or leva'er chametz. Leva'er, I'm going to burn the chametz. That's future tense. Everyone agrees that's future tense. We say al biur chametz. There is the machlokas between Rapapi and Rapapa in the Gemara in Pesachim. We paskin that it is the future tense. Al biur chametz also is future tense. And the Rush in Pesachim says that the reason why we don't play it safe is because we want to teach the halacha that al biur is certainly a language of future tense. Al-Biur is also certainly a language of future tense. And therefore, even though we could play it safe, based on the Gemara here, we don't want to play it safe. We want to show our knowledge of halacha. We want to teach people the proper biblical Hebrew at least. And that's why we say Al-Biur Chametz, even though we could play it safe and say Leva'er Chametz, which would be absolutely otherwise acceptable from the perspective of language. But the Rush says, look at this Gemara. You learn from here, you don't play it safe when it comes to brachos. You want to teach people the proper Hebrew. It's like knowing Hebrew language is part of the role of what we do when we say brachos. So that was interesting. There's a Taz that can quote another Gemara, which I'll say afterwards, which seems to not mess with this whole concept, which some places are safe in the case of brachos. We'll get to it.
If he's stomp outside, he wouldn't get up in front of this guy.
You're really, this is like,
I mean, it just seems like.
What's the word? You're down with Kafkos. He thinks, yeah, the rabbis are harsh to each other. Very strict. If you want to be an Adam Gold, you got to play it straight. I hear it. Okay, we got to move on, though. I got to get through the elements. But I get your point, Shlomo. Okay, but nonetheless, the what comes out of this Gemara is two important points. Obviously, number one, that we say Hamotzi. And it's good to know that when we say Hamotzi, it's past tense. Number two is that if someone said Motzi, what if someone said Motzi Lechner? He didn't say the hey. Is Yotze? The most Rishonim and the Psak of the Mishabura and the Shulchan Aruch is B'dievet, it's fine. If a person, like by accident, says, Motzi Lechem and Aretz, they're Yotze. Why? Because everyone agrees that that is linguistically correct. It's just not as Mechudash. It's not as.
How can you say everybody agree? Chachamim is not the.
The Chachamim agree that it is future tense. Everyone
agrees. Everybody?
No, no.
I mean, not everybody.
Yeah, everyone. It's Rav Nechemia and everybody else. When we say Chachamim, we're saying and everybody, the rest of the Beis Medrash.
Beis Medrash, but not the Chachamim who fast in the Halacha.
No, that's, yes, the Chachamim is everyone else. If there was someone else, we'd list all of them also. We'd say Rav Nechemia and then Rabbi Akiva, and we'd list them also. Just Rav Nechemia. Yeah.
Usually when you're
in
front of it, it's present, ongoing.
And the truth is, it would seem that there are times, that in the case here, the hay, in some contexts, does mean the future. So, for example, in the present. It has multiple connotations. I think it has more than one. Now, when does this come up? So, just to tell you an aside, they ask, so why is it we say Hamotzi Lechem Aretz, so we don't say Habore Pri HaGafen or Habore Pri HaAdama? Ha, right, also there. So, they explain because, unlike other crops, wheat is unique that there's multiple seasons for wheat. There's the winter wheat and there's the summer wheat. There's different wheats at different times of the year. Whereas grapes and other vegetation, they actually have certain parts of the year they grow and certain parts of the year they simply don't grow. Many parts of the hemisphere of the world, but within that part of the world, they only grow at certain times of the year. And therefore, the hay, which implies current, present, future, is appropriate to express specifically with the wheat and the bread, because of the fact that it's not just past tense, it's even current and future. Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, that's why it's specifically with the bread that we have the hay and not the others. That's what some of the Rishonim explain and explain why we don't do it elsewhere. One of the points they make is that it's always good to know it's both future and past tense. They say in order to understand the future, you have to look at it's like the Chassidus Shavur, you got to look at the past to understand the future. That's why Hamotzi is going to be from what we did and what we have in the future, based on this pasuk also. Okay, let's continue. So now we're going to go on to, second halacha we learned is you have to be very careful about saying, not bring two words together and slurring them so they form one non-Hebrew word. Okay, we have that a lot in all sorts of places, but we have to be careful all the time. And that's why the Yerushalmi suggests we don't say motzi when we have the option to do so. And the third halacha that we learned is that you should hold the bread with two hands, all 10 fingers, because there are 10 words in the pasuk of matmiach chatzil avehimav esil avodas adam lohti lachmin aret. That's the source of our language, the text of our bracha, which has 10 words. You hold the bread with 10 hands, 10
you
fingers.
You also count 10 people.
You could. Yeah. Is that one of the ones that they suggest? Okay.
Shabbat, you don't hold nothing?
We do. We do. Like this. But there's not, it's not specific to Shabbos to hold it with 10 fingers. It's not specific to Shabbos. Hold your sandwich.
Hold your, whatever.
Okay, let's continue. There could be other Kabbalistic things that have to do with the man and other things that would apply to Shabbos, but simply the 10-finger idea. No, not only Lechem Mishnah, even Lechem. That's it. Okay. Continuing. So, Al Yirakos Omer. So, what we say on vegetables? Bari Pri Adama. That's what the Mishnah said. So, now we're going to get into discussion about what to do with different types of vegetables. So, Katani Yirakos Tumi the Pak. There's a connection between our Mishnah between Yirakos, vegetables, and bread. Ma Pak. Shenishtana Al Yideha. Or, we know that bread was changed from its original form through fire, baking. Af Yirakos Nami Shenishtana Al Yideha. Or, they also, they have a bracha, they retain a bracha, Bari Pri Adama, even though you cooked the vegetables. Meaning, if you take your carrots, your peas and carrots, and you cook them, or you take the zucchinis, or you take your apple, and you cook it, so you might have thought, oh, maybe the bracha should change, because now it's a cooked vegetable. The raw form was hadama. Maybe now it should be something else. The answer is no. Just like the bread retained its bracha, it didn't lose the bracha because you baked it. And therefore, also you, or specifically, it has its bracha because you baked it. So to your rakos also will have that bracha, even though you cook it. The Amr of Nai, Mishmeder Abaye, Zosameras Shlakos, that means that Shlakos, which are cooked vegetables, the Varchelem Bari Pri Adama, the bracha for cooked vegetables, is going to be Bari Pri Adama. We're going to get into, not this Amud, but the next Amud, about soup, where what we're going to learn that even if you remove the vegetables and you simply have simply the extract, the flavor of the vegetables in the water, and that too is going to be a Hadama. But for now, we're just referring to, just to be clear, the vegetables themselves. Once they're cooked, they retain their bracha. You don't. Correct. So it's meaning that we're saying that just like the bread has, it has a high level bracha, even though it's cooked. Let's sharpen. Meaning it's not really, yes. This is not Tav Chomer. It's a comparison. We're saying that just yes, we're comparing it in the following way. Even though it goes through a cooking process, a fire process, it does not lose its bracha.
But bread does. What comparison is that?
Oh,
it's
a different bracha.
How could you compare that to vegetables? You're learning just the opposite.
You're not changing the shape.
No, you're not changing the form. Even though it goes through, meaning, what? So even though it's changed, meaning something which is changed through fire still has a high-level bracha. Don't think that something which goes through a fire process should have a lower level bracha like Bigam Shahakol or something like that, but still can have a high level bracha like we see by Pas. Pas goes through the fire and still has a high level bracha. Meaning Shahakol is a low level bracha. What's the question?
High level is you mean specific?
A specific bracha. Yeah, specific bracha.
Bracha changes. If you're going to compare it to bread,
right?
Bracha changes. So we should learn from there that the bracha changes.
But what would it change to? It changes to it, meaning it may, I guess to be clear, it continues to have a specific bracha. No, it definitely
changed. It should be upgraded.
But upgraded to what? There's no, we don't have any options.
How do you compare it to bread when bread is not the same meat?
The rule by bread is that even though it goes to the fire, it still has a specific bracha. All right. You have an answer? What I'm saying, we're trying to show that the fire process is not one that degrades the bracha. That's what we're trying to prove.
Yeah.
That is that good?
Yes, that's the question.
It doesn't mean that just like the, we're not trying to be in a specific comparison, but simply the fire process is not one that degrades the bracha. Yeah. That's the point. Okay. So, we come out of here by saying is that cooked vegetables, they still have a Bari Pri Adama. Now, Darash Rav Chisna Mishum Rabbeinu, Umano Rav. So Rav Chisna says, name of Rav, Shlokos Ravachim Aleim Bari Pri Adama. Cooked vegetables have a bracha of Bari Pri Adama. For Rabbeinu Hayordi Meretz Yisrael, the rabbis who came from Eretz Yisrael and went down to Babel, Umano Ula, that refers to Ula, Mishmeid Rav Yochan, and Ula said the following name in the name of Rav Yochan, Shlokos Ravachem Aleim Shahakol Nibidvaro. In fact, when a cooked vegetable is eaten, it loses its specific bracha, and the bracha is Shahakol Nibidvaro, according to Ula in the name of Rav Yochanan. V'ani Omer, Rav Chisda says, I say, in my opinion, there's no argument here. Meaning, I said that one person says that the bracha should be, Rav says the bracha is Brei Pri Adama. Rav Yochanan is being quoted as saying that the bracha is Shahakol. And I say, Rav Chisda says, it's not Machokas, it depends. Kol Shetchilato Brei Pri Adama, any vegetable which starts out, you eat it normally in its raw form, and you make a Brei Pri Adama, Shlako, and then you cook it, Shahakol Nia Bivaro. The bracha is downgraded to a Shahakol. So if you start eating it, and it is would be raw, like to make a simple case, a carrot. You eat carrots raw, very tasty. You make a Brei Pri Adama. If you cook the carrot, it will drop a level down. Now, it will be, the Shahakol is a lower level bracha. It's not specific.
Not specific.
Why? Because we said we had this on Sunday. We had this on the Sunday share last week. If you want to go ahead and praise your host, be specific. So if you want to thank Hashem for something, being more specific is a higher level than being generic. Okay. Right. So, v'chilato shahakol niya bivaro, anything which starts out as a shahakol, meaning it's not normally a vegetable eaten in its raw form, then shilako bari pri adama. If it is cooked, the bracha is bari pri adama. Now, the Gemara is explaining what these cases are. Bishlam akol shetchilato shahakol niya bivaro. I understand there's many examples of vegetables which are cooked because if when they're raw, they're not normally eaten. And therefore, when they're raw, you make a shahakol. Shlako, Brei Pri Adama, Mishkachas La, the examples would be Bikarva, Visilka, Vikara. That would be like cabbage, beets, and pumpkins, which are more typically, those are cooked. People don't usually eat raw, they taste better when they're cooked. Normally, they would not be eaten raw, although we do eat a lot of shredded cabbage in the foreign coleslaw. But normally, they're better when they're cooked. So that which is going to be upgraded better when it's cooked, will make a borei pri hadama when they're cooked, and a shahakol when they are raw. Elakosha tchilasa borei pri hadama, but anything which starts out as fine and edible, very good when it's raw, you make a borei pri hadama. Shlako shahakol heichli mishkachetlo. What's the case where the vegetable gets worse when you cook it? Okay, so the more answers, Amar Rav Nachman Ritzel mishkachetlo betumi vikarti. That refers to garlic and leek. Okay, the Rishonim talk about why nowadays we cook our garlic and we cook our leeks. But apparently the scenario is when you cook it by itself, if you just were to like have a choice, I'm going to eat the leek raw as like diced into my salad, or I'm going to cook it and not add, like usually you add leeks like to a stew or something like that, like an oniony type of garnish. If you used it by itself, you simply cooked the leek, it will taste worse cooked than it was raw. That's what Tosis explains. Garlic also, we're not referring to our dry garlic that we grind, but like a raw garlic, that's better to eat, the raw garlic, than if you cook the garlic and ate it simply by itself. Anything which essentially is downgraded by the cooking process is going to become shahakol. Anything which is upgraded by the cooking process and inedible before and not typically eaten before starts with a shahakol, ends up with a bright peridama. What if it was good before and good after? I used carrots initially, but carrots are good before and carrots are good cooked. There's plenty of things that we eat which are good raw and they're good cooked. So in those cases, the bracha is maintained. So we'll say Brei Pri Adama before, Brei Pri Adama afterwards. Those are the three possibilities. Okay.
I thought if you can't recognize the pieces.
We're not even discussing grinding things up, which was last Amud and future. We'll get to that. But in the last Amud, it was a discussion about if you grind something up, so it's not recognizable, it does fall down to a shahakol. That we're talking about even if it's whole. This discussion is simply, you have a whole carrot, we're not talking about soup where it's disintegrated, you can't see it. We're also again to next omelet, a case where you remove the vegetables from the soup, you just have the broth. So what's the broth on the broth of vegetable soup? Okay, so we'll get to that. But here, we're talking about the vegetable itself, even whole, once it's cooked. Again, Rav Chisda is saying, there's no machokas, it simply depends on whether you normally eat it raw, or you normally eat it cooked. Because the cooking process downgrade it, make it worse, or is the cooking process elevate, make it better? Was it edible initially and just as edible afterwards? Those are the three possibilities. So if it starts, just to be clear, let's do this really clear. Once again, if it starts out inedible, it's shahakol, or normally eaten that way, and it's better now cooked, hadam after it's cooked. If it starts out fine when it's raw. Right, for adama when it's raw, and if it gets worse through cooking it, that's our example of garlic and leek, then you make a shahakal after you cook it. Most vegetables are fine, they're fine to eat beforehand. They get bray pri adama, and they taste good when they're cooked. They get bray pri adama after they're cooked also. That would be according to the opinion of Sista. Okay. So the Gemara continues. Darshim Nechemya Shem Rabbeinu, Umano Shmuel, Nechemya said, Rav Nachman, sorry, said the name of Shmuel, Shlakos Nevrachlein, bray pri adama. Another opinion who says, it's bray pri adama. V'chavreinu hayordim Eretz Yisrael, Umano Ula, Mishmein Rav Yochan. Again, the opinion of Ula came from Eretz Yisrael, in the name of Rav Yochan, who said, Shlakos Nevrachlein, Shahakol Nevrachlein, the bracha, the papa bracha is, Shahakol Nevaro on the cooked vegetables. Va'aniomer, and again, Rav Nachman now interjecting his own opinion. Aniomer b'machlokas shnuya. This debate between Shmuel and Rav Yochanan is actually an earlier debate among the Tanaim. Also, in another context, the Tanya yotim berakik hashruya umavushal shelo nimoch. Diver Meir. Rav Meir says that if you take matzah, if you take a piece of matzah, you want to be yotze with this matzah on Pesach for your Seder, and what you do with it is two things. Either Shruya, you simply soak it in water, meaning you have your matzah and it's baked, it's cooked already. It's baked, not cooked, it's baked. And then you soak it in water, you could be yotze. Number two, then you go ahead and you are cooking it. You mean you take it from being the baked state and now you cook it into water. In both cases, he says it retains its status as bread, as pas, specifically lechem oni, and it can be used as matzah at your seder. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Yotzin Berakik HaSharui, he disagrees and says, well, on one hand, yes, I agree. If you soak it in water, the water is room temperature, you soak it, that would be okay. We're not talking about where it falls apart into little pieces. You soak it in water, and it's still one piece. In that case, you could be Yotze with the Apesach. Avalobim Bushab, but not if you cook it. Afal Pishalon Nimoch, and even if it doesn't, through the cooking process, break up into a little million pieces, it stays as one piece of matzah. But you cooked it, that you could not be Yotze on Pesach, because that is no longer lechem oni. It loses, through that process, the cooking. So let's see. According to the one opinion, it says cooking does not change. The process of cooking does not downgrade the bracha. It keeps it as lechem before and lechem afterwards. He wants to say the other opinion, the opinion of Rav Yossi, is that through the cooking process, pas loses its status. It gets downgraded from bread, and you couldn't use it on Pesach. And therefore, he wants to say that the same thing would apply to vegetables. If you cook the vegetables, according to the first opinion, stays in its status, stays the way it is, bray pri adama. That's the opinion of Shmuel. And the other opinion, which says that it gets downgraded through the process of cooking, that would be the opinion of Rav Yochanan, who says that the bracha on vegetables when they're cooked is shahakol. So he wants to make those two machlokesim parallel. And the Gemara rejects that. The Gemara says, no, that don't line up those two machlokesim. They're not the same. Veloi. The Kuli Alma, everyone agrees, Shlokas and Rachman and Bray Pri Adama. Everyone might agree that you make a Bray Pri Adama through cooking vegetables. The Adkan Lo Kamar Hasam, Kamar of Yossi Hasam, Rav Yossi only says over there that cooking downgrades the process. Mushum Tavain and Tam Masa Veleka. Over there, it fundamentally changes the bread in the way in which you interact with it, its flavor. It's not lachemoni anymore. You cooked it. It doesn't have the same flavor. It's not the same, I don't know, tasteless, thin, crunchy, hard to swallow piece of bread. So it's not the same thing anymore. And that's the case. That's why you're not yotzei with on Pesach. I never said that across the board cooking is going to downgrade a bracha. This is about the needs of Pesach. That's a different issue. Of Achaf, either Yossi Mode, even Yossi would agree that the bracha remains by cooking vegetables of Bray Pri Adama. Okay, so we've rejected Rav Nachman's suggestion. Amr Chia Bar Abba, Amr Yochan, a third statement. Shlokos Mavarchim Alein Bray Pri Adama. Rav Chia and the Bar Abba says in the name of Rav Yochan now, we now have a different opinion in the name of Rav Yochanan, that he agrees that cooked vegetables are Bray Pri Adama. Rabbi Binyamin Bar Yefes Amar Rav Yochanan Shlokos Nevarchalem Shakol Nivvaro. He quotes the name of Yochanan that Shakol Nihab Nivvaro. They get downgraded. So Amar Rav Nachman Ritzak Haba Ula L'Shebeshte Kerav Binyamin Bar Yefes. No, we had previously said that Ula had said in the name of Rav Yochanan, just get the names right, Ula in the name of Yochanan had said the Bracha Shakol. Where did Ula get that from? Where did Ula hear that Rav Yochanan had said that Shahakol? You know where he got it from? He heard it from this person, Rav Binyamin Bar Yefes. He never heard it directly from Rav Yochanan's mouth. He heard it as a testimony from Rav Binyamin Bar Yefes, who told him Rav Yochanan said that Shahakol. But that's a mistake. Ula mistakenly attributed it directly to Rav Yochanan, and he forgot that he only heard it from someone else. But really, the opinion of Rav Yochanan is under debate. One opinion is that Rav Yochanan holds, Rav Chiya Bar Abba says, Rav Yochanan says it's Bray Pri Adama. And the other opinion is that Rav Yochanan has said, the other testimony we have in his opinion is from Binyam Vayefer, is that Shahakol. So the Gemara continues and says, Tahi Bar Rav Zera. Rav Zera looks into it and said, wait a second, Ki Ma'im Rav Binyam Vayefer says Rav Chiya Bar Abba. You know, when you have a Talmud of a Rav, you have the Talmud of Rav Soloveitchik, and he tells you, I want to tell you what the Rav's opinion was on this topic. And you have, like, someone who was barely in the shir, show up for a few months. Whose opinion matters more? Who has the more correct testimony? He says, when you have a testimony in the name of Rav Yochanan from Rav Chiya Bar Abba and Rav Yom Bar Yefes, Rav Yom Bar Yefes doesn't even enter the room, doesn't even come into this medrash. Rav Chiya Bar Abba, the reason why we're so much more confident with what he told us, Rav Yochanan said, is because, and this is very key, it's a very important line, this is a little guy here tonight, is Diak the Gamer Shmaisim Rav Yochanan Rabbe. Rav Chiya Bar Abba, as we actually have earlier in the Masechta, he was very careful and precise with the words in which he recorded what Rav Yochanan had said. He was very precise and careful in recording how Rav Yochanan taught this year. He didn't just tell say over, this is the upshot of what he said, this is the final verdict, but he was very practical in the exact formulation of how Rav Yochanan said what he said. Number two, and by the way, Rav Binyamin Bar Yefes, he wasn't as careful with his words. The Ode, Rav Chiya Bar Abba, called Tzlatin Yomim, Mahadr Talmudikame, De Rav Yochanan Rabbe. Also, every 30 days, Rav Yochanan was very careful, Rav Chiya Bar Abba was very careful every 30 days to review his learning, and get this, Kame, Rav Yochanan Rabbe. He didn't just review it by himself at night in the basement in the corner, he reviewed it in front of his Rebbe. So he reviewed with his Rebbe what he learned. Tosfos explained, it doesn't mean he learned all, he didn't review Kol HaTorah Kula, everything in his whole life that he learned. He reviewed that which he learned in the past 30 days in front of his Rebbe every 30 days. I mean, he took a 30-day review in with his Rebbe. So what they say from here is, and by the way, Rav Yochanan Bar Pidat, Rav Binyamin Bar Yefes, Lo Mahadar, he didn't do that. He didn't take the extra step. So what the Gemara is teaching is that if you want to be part of the Mesorah, the Baalei HaMesorah have two unique character traits. Number one, they're very precise with their language. Very precise in how they record what they say. If you ever see tremendous Magide Shir, not here, but they give a very clear Shir, the choice of words, the way in which they say the Chakira, very precise, very careful how they say it, because the exact formulation itself is key. Number two, they review constantly their learning with the Rebbe to make sure that their transmission of that Mesorah is accurate, is correct. And that is why when Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba tells us the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan, it is fact. And because we have someone by the name of Binyamin Bar Yefes who tells us something else, I'm not even listening. It's not even the machlokas in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. We have a very clear tradition that Rabbi Yochanan held. It's Borei Pri HaAdama. The Gemara says, just to finish up this part of the Gemara, and then we're done for this evening for the Amish here, Hahu Tarmisa, Turmisa. Ooh, I'm missing. Ode, sorry, Bar Mindain, sorry. In addition, another reason why he's right in the name of Yochan, Daho Turmisa, because Turmisa is this type of bean dish that was cooked. The Shalki Be Shiva Zimnin, the Kedera was cooked 7 times in a pot, the Achile, the Kinoch Sudan was eaten as dessert. Atu Vishalur of Yochanan, they asked Rav Yochanan what to do. The Amr Lehu, Mevarchin Leid, Boy Pri Adama. That's pretty clear case. Cooked vegetable, cooked beans, he says, make a Boy Pri Adama. Must hold. The cooking process is that which is not shahakol to hadama. So Rav Chiya Bar Abba was correct. No, that you're getting into a different opinion. When Ula says in the name of you're within Rav, I think it's Rav Chista, Rav Chiya, hold on, you're within Rav Chista. We'll get back to that. Hold that thought. But when the testimony of Rav Binyamin Bar Yefes was saying of Yochanan, it was across the board. Any cooked vegetable, the cooking process caused the shahakol. Not the distinction you're making. That's Rav Chista. Okay. The Ode Amr Rav Chiya Bar Abba, Ani Raiti Yashar Yochan Sha'ach Kazayat Maliach. I saw him when he's eating. It's salted olive, and the salting process, through the salting process, is also like cooking. Ubarach Lei Tzchil Levesof, and he made a bracha in the beginning and end. What bracha do you make? Iyar Mitzvah Shalom Shalakos, Bil Sayu Kai made that they maintain their bracha. Bitzchil Levesof, what he meant was he initially made a bracha of Bari Priha Ait on this olive. And then afterwards, it was Sof Mevarach Le Bracha Achnein Shalosh. He made a Bracha Achnein Shalosh Al Ha'it. El Yamrit Shlokos Lav Milsayu Kaimi, that they only get a Shahakol. Bishlam Mitzchila Mevarach Lav Shahakol Mi Dvaro. But what Bracha would you make in the end? Ela Levisof Mai Mevarach. Well, you all know the answer, because what would you make on the shakel? Afterward, the bracha chrona is dumma bray in the fashion rabos, the chasrona kol masha bara. That would be the end of that bracha. So we don't have a proof from that, like that testimony, but from all the previous parts, we had the Rav Yochanan's opinion that you make a bray prey adama on shlakos. The Gemara is going to continue the discussion of what is the proper bracha on cooked vegetables, and we're going to get into soups with the next amud. But up to now, we have basically two solid opinions. One is that it's bray prey adama, and the other is that there's a distinction about what was its initial status. Was it initially eaten raw and then cooked, and therefore it started out shahakal and become, or if it's not eaten raw, and it started out shahakal and then become a bray prey adama. If it is cooked, if it's great when it's raw and great when it's cooked, it's all the time a bray prey adama, or bray prey. And if it's good when it's raw, but then gets degraded and tastes bad when it's cooked, like the leek and the garlic, then that would be something which starts out adama and becomes a shahakal. Okay, we'll get into how we pass them. I don't want to discuss that, but that is generally how we pass them, by the way, that distinction. Okay, we'll stop over here.
Okay.